This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
BFM 89.9, you're listening to The Morning Run with Lynn Mark, Sharit Abdullah and Wong Xiaoning. It is Friday, the 16th of August, and finally I get to ask the question that's been on the tip of my tongue all week, which is, what are you guys planning to do for your weekends?
Oh, no.
Oh, Lynn Mark's favourite question.
I'm always looking forward to the weekend.
Just talking about
the second favorite question is, what did you do
over the weekend?
Over the weekend.
We were just talking about this, as in how time flies over here. It's scary.
So
it's never been. Yeah, no, I haven't even had time to plan for my weekend, so don't ask me what's happening over the weekend. It's really sad.
Nobody gets any points for guessing what I'm going to do, even if there's haste.
Wait, no. I think I have an inkling.
Come on, Lynn. You can do it.
Eating, sleeping, running, and repeat.
Yes!
Amazing. I feel like I should get a prize for that.
I'm so boring. It's unbelievable.
No bubble tea?
No bubble tea. There are no offers currently.
Bubble tea is bad for you.
I'm not the one drinking it, Sharit.
Like apparently eight spoons of sugar.
18.
I know you're allowed to have 8 spoons of sugar, right? That's the
allowance per day, right?
Isn't that the amount of sugar in a Coca-Cola can or something like that?
No, it's more than
that. It's more than that.
But I'm just amazed by the phenomenon. Mm. You know, like there's a shop opening every other day.
Oh, even in the UK, apparently. It's crazy there too.
Oh, really? I thought it was mainly an Asian
thing.
Yeah,
I spoke to my sister. Apparently, it is crazy there in the UK as well.
I saw a lot of it when I was in Australia, but now it's gone global.
Yeah, I mean, even the US, I think it's what is it called? What's the other name for bubble tea? Boba tea or
something? Boba, yeah. B-O-B-A.
Actually, it was originally Taiwanese, right? Mm-hmm. But if you ask me, it's the Malaysians that have really taken it around the world.
Yeah, I saw on Facebook recently the bubble tea bingo card that you can cross off if you've had all of these different brands of bubble tea, and there are like 20 of them. And I look at it and think, I've only seen maybe 2 of these. You mean there are so many brands just
here? Well, now
you
have something to do over the weekend.
But bubble tea is bad when you leave it overnight,
though. Thing. Oh, yeah, I can't imagine it would be really nice. But aside from that, though, before you make it to your weekend, we do have lots of fascinating things to talk about this morning. What are we going to be discussing?
Yeah, we spoke about bubble tea, whether or not spending too much money is good for you. 30% is how much money you shouldn't be spending on bubble tea. So, I mean, do you ever worry about, you know, that you are not saving enough for your retirement? I mean, we've been speaking a lot about that. I mean, the majority of us, I think, are still struggling to juggle our day-to-day bills. So for those who have succeeded, I think we're asking, what's your strategy of putting aside money?
And I'll be asking the question whether you are Mr. or Mrs. or Miss Know-It-All, because in life, we should never stop learning. There's always a new skill to pick up.
Absolutely. Now, if you want to weigh in on those conversations, you can WhatsApp us at 018-789-8899 or tweet us at BFM Radio. First up, though, we're going to be asking you the question of city living or suburban living if you want to save money. So be sure to stay tuned for that here on The Morning Run, BFM 89.9. BFM 89.9, that was Chain Gang by Sam Cooke, and earlier it was also Hang Loose by Alabama Shakes. And you're listening to The Morning Run with Lynn, Sharit and Xiaoning. Now, if you really want to save money, maybe the best thing is to be moving out of the city, if you live in the city, to the suburbs. Because there's been this CNBC article highlighting the fact that in the US, suburbanites have nearly 4 times the savings of city dwellers. And it puts it down to 2 main reasons, right? Wage stagnation and high cost of living. And these are both things that we are also seeing here in Malaysia. Just taking a look at the two of you, Sharit and Xiaoning, what do you think about this? Because Xiaoning, you actually did live in the city at one point, right?
Yeah, I did when I had a previous life. And I did it out of convenience because I just didn't want to spend a lot of time traveling.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because the traffic in KL is just really horrendous, right? Especially if it rains, it's terrible. Even just a 2-kilometer journey can take half an hour, if not longer. Lynn Mark, remember your legendary 3-hour drive back home?
4-hour drive, actually.
Yeah, you could have gone to Ipoh.
I could have.
No, you
could
have gone to Penang. So I wanted to avoid all that. So I'm just wondering whether this article kind of makes sense and whether it applies in the Malaysian context. Mm-hmm. Because the cost of living in a suburb in Malaysia, let's say we just take a typical one, Petaling Jaya, it's not exactly cheap versus KL, right? Maybe, I guess, the difference is if you pay rent.
Mm.
That would be the big thing. But then what about your savings from transportation? If you live nearby, you could probably, to your office, you probably could walk. Now you're spending at least 1 hour to get to work in the morning if you leave at 7:30, and then another hour easily if you leave at 6. And all that petrol costs. So I'm not sure whether this article is true?
Yeah, so I don't know whether or not you... whether or not I would consider Petaling Jaya or, you know, Damansara as considered suburban living, I mean, I still think that they have all the amenities that the cities could, a city could offer in that sense. I mean, public transport, the lifestyle, all those things are the ones that I think, lifestyle especially, they contribute towards your cost. I mean,
yeah, making it difficult for you to save money.
Exactly.
Right?
I mean, the entertainment that it has to offer, all those things are the things that you'd be spending on. Unlike if you were to live in the suburban, you have lack of that.
So where would you, what is your definition of
suburban? Suburban would be on the outskirts. Like, for an example, in Rawang, Sungai Buloh, for an example, those would be my suburban.
Sungai Buloh is a suburb now. With the Duke Highway.
Yeah, yeah.
It's become a suburb. A while ago, it was a place where you went to buy plants.
Mm.
Right?
Exactly.
And now it's like Sonia Kale. It's not funny.
Yeah, so there's a growing number of suburbs mm-hmm. in Kuala Lumpur. Because, yeah, like you said, living in Kuala Lumpur, the prices are...
It's expensive,
higher.
Right?
But I'm just wondering.
It is very expensive.
Yeah, but I do wonder though. I mean, if you add the cost of, for example, transportation and toll, whether or not at the end of the day everything sort of evens up.
Yeah, aside from the housing, which is a given, right?
Yeah,
because if you live closer to the city, it generally becomes more expensive.
Yeah, I think in terms of transportation, petrol costs, toll costs at the moment, it does add up quite a lot because in a lot of cases, we don't have any other options because, you know, MRT and LRT, we do have a very good MRT system now, but the problem is always the last mile, right? Because you get out of the MRT station, say if you are commuting into the city centre, you get off at the Ampang Park station, but your office is a half-hour walk away. That's just not feasible, right? Because in that walk, it's hot, you'll start to sweat, and then you arrive in a no-fit state for work.
And the commuter bus is late.
And then it's still a traffic jam. If you try and get a cab, it's still very difficult. Mm-hmm. So easily, you know, for example, you spend 20 minutes trying to catch a taxi, and then you spend another 20 minutes wading through the traffic jam to work. That's 40 minutes on the road. In addition to however much time you spent on the train, you might as well drive in that case from wherever it is you were staying, right?
Right.
Unless you're so lucky that your office is just next to the MRT. Then the 100 ringgit transportation card that the government gives, yes, that does help.
So I'm not really convinced that whether or not... I mean, again, if you go to compare budget to budget, right? For example, you do have X amount that you want to spend, for example, for your living expenditures. That living outside would actually make you save more because eventually there's so many issues that comes into play. Driving out, you're stuck in traffic jam, then that hinders you from actually wanting to drive, so you get stuck in the city, you spend time with some friends, and then you lose time with your family. I mean, the spillover effect
that
just
was
goes
your
on
line, right,
like,
Sherry?
So at the end of the day, you end up spending more, I mean, in that sense. So I'm not entirely convinced.
How long was your commute when you were working in
Cyberjaya?
Cyberjaya.
So I live in the city and move out to the suburbs to work, and that took me, I think, on average about 2.5 hours, 2-3 hours a week. But a day. So you have to take into account, though, I do take public transport, so that slows me down. But I do get a bit more relaxed timeline in that sense.
Yeah, so the question for me is the time value of the value of time, right? Because that has an unknown... it's like there's no monetary value, but yet it's so valuable.
Mm-hmm.
So you have to do that maths. What do you think is more important to you?
Mm.
So yeah, you might spend a little bit more by staying in the city, but you have time, which is something you can never get back.
But then you also do have a lot more temptation in the city, right? Because when you say you're living in KL, and then the temptation is to go shopping, it's to go out for dinner because there are nice restaurants, and you wind up spending more on your general day-to-day costs.
I'm not sure about that because I find the suburbs. Now I have moved to the suburbs. I'm a burb.
I wouldn't consider your area as a suburb.
But it's a burb. It's still a burb. I love that name. And there's so many distractions in the burbs now. There's so many restaurants, things to eat, things to shop. So,
to be fair, Shaning, you live in Bangsa.
Oh, okay. You outed me now.
So, you know, it is quite happening, you know, even
exactly.
if it is not quite.
Exactly. Where I lived
right
in town
in
was dead. Actually, it was better for my wallet.
I would enjoy the space, though, if you were to move out in the Sungai Buloh Rawang area.
Mm, yeah.
Yeah, you're a green kind of guy, Sharit.
Yeah, and a young family as well, so lots of space to grow and play, right?
Yeah.
Well, do let us know what you think. Do you think that living in the suburbs is cheaper? You can WhatsApp us at 018-789-8899 or tweet us at BFM Radio. We have got more fascinating conversations coming up for you, so be sure to stay tuned here on The Morning Run, BFM 89.9. BFM 89.9, that was Raspberry Beret by Prince. and you're listening to The Morning Run with Lynn Sharitz and Shaoning. Now you only really stop learning when you're dead. And this Quartz article has put forward 9 skills that are important to keep up to scratch if you want to succeed at working life. And they're things like saying no, taking the initiative, knowing when to keep quiet, and ensuring that you have emotional intelligence in order to not step on anyone's toes, essentially, while you're in the working world. And I guess my question then is, of these 9 skills, what for you would be the most important? Because for me, it would definitely be... I'm very torn between saying no and time management because I have the very bad habit of just saying yes to everything that comes my way because I'm like, no, it's okay. I'll find time to do it. And then I struggle.
Yeah.
And then at the end of the day, you're not sure if you could have done a little bit better, if maybe you'd taken on less. So saying no is a bit of an ongoing learning curve for me.
I feel you, Lynn, especially being in the morning run team when you're being offered a lot of cakes and and it's like a bribe. And after that, once they ask you a favor, how can you say no, right?
Are you looking at me, Sharitz?
Am I?
I don't know. You didn't seem to be staring at anyone else.
So, I mean, that would be my challenge. Saying no has always been a problem because sometimes people are just too nice to you. And when they ask you for a favor or...
I'll give you a Tim Tam later.
Don't make it obvious. Come on. But I think all this 9 has sort of helped me when I was looking at it. It's like being able to listen, just being quiet a lot of the times. So, I mean, that's proven to be useful in some ways, especially when I was in the transition of changing jobs, changing a career in that sense.
So for you, which one? Listening is important?
All of them. But
all
the one,
of them.
Well,
if you had to rank your top 2?
My top 2 would be, it would be listening and just taking initiative, really.
Okay. I think those are important. I was looking at the list and I was struggling which would be my top 2. Don't laugh. I think one would be knowing when to shut up. It's exactly as per what the guy wrote, right? Yeah. And I think the other one is staying positive, actually. Because sometimes we get overwhelmed with life, right? And then it's very, very hard to feel like, oh, do I know what I'm doing? You know, it just feels so cloudy. But you've got to keep that positive mindset. As like you say, when you change jobs and it was just so daunting at the beginning and you thought, oh, I'll never get through it. So it's important to always remember to stay positive.
Yeah. Sometimes if it feels overwhelming, just take a walk, right? Mm. Go to the pantry, have a cup of coffee.
Eat that cake that someone just offered to you. And you'll
have that Tim Tam.
You have that Tim Tam.
I've had that happen to me before. Yeah. I mean, not to me personally, but I've seen it happen in my workplace when someone just breaks down. And I've got a colleague that just stood up and just said, hey, look, I think it's just better that you leave this place and just go take a walk for about 5 or 10 minutes and then come back. And rightfully, person just calmed down and everything went back to normal.
Yeah.
So it works.
I think for me, it's always just a case of sometimes things build up and build up and build up and then you explode, right?
Yeah.
So how I try and avoid that happening, because I tend to be a bit of an anxious person. So if I see my workload piling up, I get very stressed. And this is when you'll notice if we're working together, right? You'll notice this is when I go very, very quiet because I just stop talking. And that's when I'm like feeling very overwhelmed. And I just have to remind myself to break it down into small things, right? So that's why I make lists and to-do lists so that I have that small sense of achievement whenever I do something like, okay, I'll finish reading this report, check it off the list. Okay, that's one achievement done. And it's all these kind of little strategies that you come up with, whatever really suits you in order to keep you going at work and keep you from having that meltdown that you described, Sharitz.
Yeah. I mean, all these qualities are important, especially when you say, the essence of all this article is that you continue learning. And sometimes it's a tough decision to make, especially when, if you want to move on from your job or you want to decide to do something else, you need to have some fundamentals like in terms of how to keep yourself together in that sense.
Yeah, but I think, and the other important thing about this article is that we should always have a curious mind, right?
Mm.
In that we should never think, oh, we have the answers to all the world's problems.
That you're not always right.
That you're not always right. So all that, there's something new I can learn.
Absolutely. And on the flip side, it's always important to say, okay, I think I can learn this if I try, because that's one of the things that you see happen sometimes. You say, oh no, I can't do it. Oh no, I definitely cannot. I'm not a creative person. I'll never learn to draw, for example. And you are essentially telling yourself, teaching yourself to fail before you even start. So that's another thing. That's another thing for me that I try and keep in mind. And ultimately, I feel like this is quite a common sense list. But then reality is that common sense is not that common. And
there's chemicals in your body that that overtakes you.
Absolutely.
In that sense, right?
And it's a good thing. These are all good things to keep in mind when you are in the working world and to work on constantly.
Mm. I think these are good skills for life in general.
They are,
not just for work.
Yeah.
I mean, in how you deal with everybody in your family, your friends.
Mm-hmm. So do let us know what you think, which is the skill that is most important for you to keep learning. You can WhatsApp us at 018-789-8899 or tweet us at BFM Radio. We're coming up on the 6:30 news, but first here is When Love and Hate Collide by Def Leppard, BFM 89.9. BFM 89.9, that was For Emma by Bon Iver, and you're listening to The Morning Run with Lynn, Mark, Sharitz Abdullah and Wong Shaning. So what happens after you retire? I mean, ideally, you do what it is you would like or want to do in life rather than that corporate job that you've slogged through for 30 years. But to do that, you need the money. That is the perennial question that we are always talking about here on The Morning Run, because it's like, how do you ensure that you have enough savings for retirement? And now, EPF advisor, Professor Dr. Norma Mansour, who's an emeritus professor at the University of Malaya Social Wellbeing Research, she suggested to the Malaysian Insight that people should actually be putting aside 30% of their income for a rainy day. And this does include the EPF.
This is difficult, for a lot of Malaysians to do, especially at the start of their career, because starting pay in Malaysia, I think it's not very high in comparison to other developed countries or developed market. But it's a discipline that is good to have. But I think where I'm coming with this, how I would approach this article is that how we approach our lifestyle, especially as our income grows, right?
Mm-hmm.
The problem that we always face is that we allow our lifestyle to grow along with our, the salary that we get. And as a result, you don't get to save that, that money that you think you want to save in the future. So a lot of the time you're saying, someday I'm going to have enough money to put aside. But the problem is that we don't get, we're not disciplined enough that as soon as we get more money, you get better cars or you upgrade yourself. And that's when I think it will be a continuous excuse to not put aside money.
But if you look at the article, what it is telling people to do is just setting aside an additional 10%. And this is assuming you have a regular job, right? Mm-hmm. And you and your employer are contributing to EPF. So there should be at least 23% set aside of your salary already. So she's recommending another 10%. So if you think about it, yes, it's difficult when you're young and you're not earning very much money. So in this article, it says that the average wage is 2,000, the median wage of EPF.
So 10% is 200 ringgit.
Yeah, exactly. So set aside that 200 ringgit is what she's recommending. And she tells you, you just have to make these choices about your lifestyle. So I guess you go through that list of the things that you do and you just, as much as possible, take out the things which are non-essential. And yes, it's tough.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not saying it is.
Mm.
Especially when you earn 2,000, it's very little money for KL. Or even not KL, any big city.
Anywhere in the Klang Valley, really.
Yeah, Klang Valley.
2,000 is tough.
Yeah, 2,000 is tough in Klang Valley. I think it's tough in Penang. Mm-hmm. Maybe it's okay if you live in a really smaller town. So it is difficult, but it's about life choices, right?
All right. If you say it's tough, help me make it easy. I'm going to put my daddy hat on at the moment, right? There's a lot of pressure, for an example, with when your kids are, you have peers who, for an example, celebrate birthdays in a very different way, sometimes very elaborate. And then now your kids start to learn and they start asking. I'm quite sure I'm not the only one, who feel that way.
Yeah, I don't have kids.
And you succumb to those pressure, right? Xiaoning, how would you advise me to sort of stay strong and stay away from all this temptation?
When I was growing up, my parents were very, very frugal. I know you're giving me that look. My three sisters and I had to share a Coke. We weren't allowed to each have one. It was a treat.
Mm.
So, and my parents were very honest, They said that we need to save money. Sometimes that honest conversation with your kids is the way to go.
Okay.
Why pretend, right?
Yeah.
And your children should kind of be buy into this, we need to save money kind of mantra,
I'm doing that, but I think I'm sort of finding, the middle ground. So, for an example, they're asking for X, I'll give X and a half.
But, the X and a half, even in my family, was only if you did really well in something. It was, not assume you would get a toy. You would only get a toy if you did academically really well, you passed some piano exam, you know, it was not given to you.
And there's something to be said for creativity as well, right? Because when I was young also, my parents were trying to save money. And rather than taking, you know, throwing me birthday parties at nice restaurants and having to fork out the money, we'd cook in the house and we didn't have any kind of entertainment or anything in that vein.
These kids have clowns. We never had clowns, right?
I used to write my own quizzes for my friends and just, you know, be like the little quiz master in the middle of the TV room. But at the end of the day, right, it's one of those things that if you listen to when you're trying to save money, one of the things that I think a lot of people do advise you is don't tell yourself that you'll put aside 10% at the end of the month, because realistically that's not going to happen, right? Mm-hmm. You're going to spend to the best of your abilities until you receive the next paycheck. So one of the advice that I've heard is that, you know, when you receive your paycheck, put aside that 10% straight away, and then so expense everything first and then move on to what it is that you can spend. And this is something I think that has been discussed as well on Ringgit and Sense, which is every Thursdays at 9:30 p.m. and that discusses personal finance. I think, in fact, yesterday, Roshan Kanesan spoke to Suraya Zainuddin, who's a personal finance blogger at ringgitoringgit.com, and they addressed the struggle of saving money on that show. So if you want to listen to that conversation, you can find it on the BFM app or on Spotify under Ringgit and Sense.
Okay, so you spoke about creativity, Lynn. So this is one thing creative that my wife and I are coming out with, especially when it comes to birthday parties, right? Mm-hmm. We have small ones where intimate birthday parties, but we try and celebrate one big one a year for everyone, like one shot.
Yeah,
I'm
going to
spread
nice,
that
yeah.
out.
Yeah, that's a nice way of doing it.
Yeah, I mean, then we'll have clowns on those one big party, one of those big parties.
Excellent, and then you can say, "Send in the clowns." But actually, this lady who initially put this forward, right? She's an advisor to the EPF, and she was also one of the experts that helped to formulate the Belanja One kind of program advisory to tell you, you know, what's the minimum amount that you can live on. Professor Dr. Norma Mansour, and we also did speak to her about social protections on our new show Spotlight that's happening every Tuesdays at 9:30. So that's already happened earlier this week, and if you want to take a listen to that podcast, you can also find that on the BFM app or on Spotify. Now we are coming up on a couple of messages for you, and then we'll be back to take a look at what you've said on social media. So be sure to keep it here on The Morning Run, BFM 89.9. BFM 89.9, that was First Time I Met the Blues by Buddy Guy, and you're listening to The Morning Run with Lynn, Sharitz and Shaoning. Now, thank you very much for all your messages this morning. We've been talking about city dwelling. We've been talking about some of the skills we need to succeed in life. And we've been talking about saving money. And we have received some tweets and WhatsApps coming in on the subject of suburban living versus city living. PJ Klopp says, depends on what suburbs mean here. If it's PJ or Subang, probably not cheaper. If it's Nilai, maybe. But then maybe travel costs would be expensive, and time cost as well if you work in the city.
Yeah, so interesting that we're speaking about this. And later today, I think during the property show, we'll be looking into the, what would you consider when you want to live in the outskirts of Kuala Lumpur and the greater Kuala Lumpur, especially when properties are expensive in the city. And also we got a tweet from Afiq Zamri. Thanks, Afiq. And there is a situation give and take. Other costs involved, such as living in the suburbs, equates to more commuting time to the city, which I think, yeah, it does make sense. I mean, when you suck the traffic with petrol price, with petrol running, and then there's toll to consider, there's no sign that it's going to be abolished anyway. So those are things that needs to be taken into account.
Yeah, which is why I guess there's this trend towards moving into smaller units, right? Where the absolute
that's
price,
a sacrifice,
yeah,
right,
there's a sacrifice. Something has to give. And then with regards to saving money, we have Sonia who WhatsApped in, and she says, "Get your kids on your teams, and find creative ways to get them to save with you. Don't make it sound like a sad thing, but something that's better for the future." I think that's lovely advice. And yeah, very
it's
practical.
True, because it should be it can be a family event kind of thing, right?
Yes, I think children should
not when they stare with you those big round eyes and it starts glowing and
Well, sometimes you just have to be the bad cop and say no, right? Unfortunately.
Do you know what? I think one of my brother's first big words was the word expensive. And in the sense
of... That is clever.
Yeah, in the sense of it was taught to him. And then eventually, one time I offered him something. Oh, do you want a lollipop? He looked at it and it was a nice lollipop, you know. And he asked me, is it expensive? And he was like, wow, well three. Done. I was like, yes, I guess. And he's like, oh, it's okay. And I'm like, okay, you know,
wow, on the one hand, it's good. Work, right?
it can be like an event, right? It doesn't have to be a sad thing. It doesn't have to be a stressful thing for your kids because you just get them to buy in on it. And then you find creative ways to have fun regardless. We also have a message from Hao Yong, who says, riding a bicycle in the city is much faster and easier. Hashtag Naik Basikal Dah Sampai.
Yep.
And that is something that I've actually considered doing before.
Okay.
The only thing that makes me hesitate is that I am very terrified of the drivers on the road in the city centre.
Are you more scared of the drivers or more scared of the motorbikes? I'm more scared of the motorbikes, guys.
Really?
Yeah. I'm really fearful of them because... They seem to be coming from every angle, every corner, and one minute they're there and one minute they're not, and you know, they just zoom past. And they beat the lights all the time, which freaks me out.
Okay. Well, it does take a bit of planning. I did that when I was going to Sabujaya.
Yeah.
Public transport, folding bike. It does take a bit of planning, knowing your routes, where, you know, which route is actually safe for you to ride on, and those other things. But another thing is hygiene, though. I don't like the idea of reaching the workplace all sweaty and stuff. So how do you do that? For me, it was that I had to bring cloth with me. I had to clean myself up, everything.
Yeah.
But it takes a lot of planning. But once you do it, you actually feel good about
yourself. It's true. Offices don't have showers. It's not a Malaysian thing, is it?
It just doesn't feel right. I mean, they expect you to be all nice and fresh and clean and smelling good and all.
We hope so.
Yeah.
Well, thank you very much nonetheless for all your messages this morning at BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.